All right, declare loud like you believe it. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is entering into me. And it's imparting life into me. Say, this is eternal life. The entrance of the word of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, please say a very warm amen.
Amen.
All right. Now we're going to take two portions of the scriptures. The first one from the book of Galatians chapter 5. We read this extensively when we're talking about walking in the Spirit. And then the second one is from the book of Matthew chapter 5, which we've read earlier on in this series. So let's read the first one, the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm starting from verse 16. He says, all right, let's just start from verse 13. I'll jump here and there so as to save time. All right? He said, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And that word is this statement that says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now just jump down to verse 16. It says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. Again, I'm jumping. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, where I read this, what I want to reach is this verse 19 especially. It said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity. The impurity here refers to sexual deviancy. The first one refers to sexual immorality. Then it says sensuality, that is living according to the dictates of the flesh. Your senses dictating to you what you do in life. The next one says, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. That is, this is not an exhaustive list. There are many things that are like this that I have not listed, Paul was saying. He said, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. He now said, let's end here. Verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, like I said, I read this to emphasize the fact that there are conditions for inheriting the kingdom of God. And he said that the things that will prevent somebody from inheriting the kingdom of God are the things that he called the deeds of the flesh. And those deeds, we give a long list of them. And Paul said that the list is not exhaustive. Anything that's like this also prevents people from experiencing or inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, let's read the other one, the book of Matthew chapter 5. Please bear these things that Paul said here in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Let's bear them in mind. Now, this is the famous Sermon on the Mount from verse 1. Again, I will jump here and there so as to save time when it is necessary. All right? He said that from verse 1, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Just for emphasis, or just as a reminder, I'm reading New American Standard. Somebody may be wondering which version I'm reading, okay? For those who don't know. All right? He said, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Again, let me digress for a moment and pass a small comment on that. Notice that Jesus saw what? Okay. You have the King James. What did he see?
Multitude.
All right. If you have my version, what he saw is the crowds. My Bible says. So you find different groups of people, plenty of them. Jesus saw them. Then he moved away and went up to the mountain. And after that, and after he sat down, his disciples came. The crowd did not come. His disciples came. Please bear that in mind. When Jesus was teaching here, he wasn't teaching everybody. He was teaching his disciples. He spoke to them directly because they were interested in learning. He wasn't speaking to them now in parables. He spoke to his disciples. What are disciples? Disciples simply are students. People who are not looking for what they are going to get for themselves. They are not looking for food. They are not looking for quick miracles. They are looking to learn. They want to understand the ways of God. They want to understand the ways of the kingdom. They want to understand how God wants them to live. They are not just here to grab something. No, that's not why they are there. They didn't just come to get something for themselves. They want to learn. And those are the ones that decided to go up the mountain when they saw the Lord retreating. The crowds were waiting down there, waiting for him to come and pray for the sick, waiting for him to multiply bread, waiting for him to just entertain them. Maybe they liked the way he used to speak, you know. But the disciples were there to learn. And then when those ones came, verse 2, he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." He said, "For they shall be filled." Just again, let me emphasize. He said, if they hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled with physical feeling. Do you understand my point? That is, they will be satisfied in life. That's what he was saying. He was saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. So those who thirst and hunger, all right, after righteousness, all other things are added to them. He was saying there. Bear that in mind. Verse 7, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart." Please notice that. "For they shall see God." And then, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Not because you did those things, all right? If you did them and they speak evil against you, there's no blessing, all right? If the evil they are speaking against you is because of your following of Jesus Christ and your righteousness, that's where there's a blessing, all right? He said, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right, I think I can stop here. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right. Now, let's now connect with our teaching, the habitation of God. Now, what we have been talking about, let me just summarize it in a few moments, is the fact that what God designed for us to be is a place where he dwells on the earth. I explained the fact that when we talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, we are not talking about something that exists somewhere that we will find when we will have died and left this earth, all right, or when Jesus will come back. The kingdom of God is something that you will find on the earth. The way I explained it is that you don't find a British colony in England. Do you understand what I'm saying? British colony is when they leave that place and go and colonize somewhere else. And when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, that is the same thing he's saying. And we are saying that in our lives, the desire of God is so that he will dwell in us. Don't forget that. And he will be our God and will be his people. And remember, I said that when Jesus said he was the Son of God, it was not a small matter. People were going to kill him because he was making a claim that was great. He said by saying that he had made himself equal with God. And I explained the meaning of equality with God. It is possible, don't ever forget that, for a human being to attain that position that is called equality with God. Please, it's not blasphemy when I say it. You know, when the Jews heard it, they thought it was impossible. But Jesus came to open a way so that all of us will be able to achieve that. And that must be the goal of our lives. Now, you say, you mean we are going to be God? No, that's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that God has prepared a place in this existence, on this side of eternity, that it says anyone who enters into that place, I will say he has attained equality with God. What that simply means is that he can speak for me. What that simply means is that anything he says, it will be what I have said. Automatically, he is holding the kingdom of the keys of the kingdom. So if he closes a door, the door is closed. You will remember that Elijah did not pray. Now listen to this. So, did not pray to God. He did not seek God's opinion before he closed the heaven. All right? He closed the heavens over Israel. He was just vexed. He was angry. The thing just rose up inside him and said, why are these people behaving like this? Now listen to me. There will not be rain or dew except I say so. And God said, fine. Do you understand my point? That this man, he has decided, all right? Now, forget, well, I don't want to go into it now. What condition he was in, maybe at that point he had just finished intense meditation and the Holy Spirit, all right, had overshadowed him. But whatever it is, he did as a human being. He did not do primarily as a prophet. He did it as a person who was feeling the passions of God, who was feeling how God was feeling, and he had authority on the earth. For that reason, he shut up the heavens. Do you get my point? Listen, the church of God, the way God designed it, they are dangerous people. The problem is that we have not worked in such a manner so as to be able to attain that level of authority. I need to emphasize that again. When Jesus came, you know, I was listening to a message as I was coming, and the preacher was emphasizing the fact that Jesus left all his glory, all right, when he came down to the earth. And that is not a lie. That is very, very true. But there's one thing we must never forget. When he now came down to the earth with no glory, he now began to build up glory. I don't know why I hear what I said. He began to build it. He began to walk with God so as to deserve a particular level of life. And when he got to that point, the Lord said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He now said, he put a commandment, listen to him. Whatever he says to you is what I have said. That is, he had attained what we call equality with God. Jesus left this, he left it behind, the issue of creator of the universe, the God above all gods, he left that one behind. When he came down to the earth as a child, he now began to build something up. And he built that thing up by training. He built it by obedience. He built it. Now listen, when he went into the wilderness, it was to show to us how he had been tempted in life. That was not the, look. Don't think the devil suddenly realized that this man needed to be tempted that day. The devil had been tempting him for a long time. And let me just tell you like now, your life, got bad news, but good news too. Your temptations have begun, and they will not come to an end. Amen? Be warned. I'm just warning you. What you need in life, all right, is the strength to constantly overcome. The more you overcome, the stronger you become, and the weaker the temptations will be relative to you. The temptations don't go away. Are you getting my point? They won't say, that man is very righteous and spiritual now, so all the women that go around enticing people will not leave you alone. They will not. What will just happen is that you will notice them again. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Yes, and when you get into moments of backsliding, you have to be careful. All right? Listen to me. When you start finding temptations around, suddenly getting very strong around you, temptations did not change. You became weak. Are you getting my point? You stopped going to church. Let me put it like that. You stopped associating with the right people. You became so busy. You're a businessman. Money was flowing so much, you had not been to church in a while. You now start calling me, Pastor, how now? Man, thank God. We will see. That is, you think that phone call, you understand my point, has suddenly improved your spirituality. You know you are connected with the men of God. Because now you have their phone numbers and you can call them. Don't call me. Amen? Amen. Click on the website and listen to the message. That is what you need. You understand my point? That is what you need. If maybe you are not around, or this is not the only period the word of God is coming from, all right? Maybe you are not somewhere you can connect. God has blessed you so much these days with technology. All of us, take advantage of it. Don't wake up in the morning any day, 7 days in a week straight. First thing in the morning, you have woken up, you have gone out, you have begun to backslide. Do you know what I say? Why are you afraid to answer me? 7 days in a row. At least you've not had time to take a book and read. You've not had time to take a message and listen to it. The idea is that periodically you must take time out and feed with the word that on the word of God. It strengthens you. All right? Let me try and sit on my message. So you see, Jesus had to be proven. So what you saw in the wilderness, it was not the only time in his life he was tempted. That was just a summary of his life before then. He passed all those temptations before God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." When he went on a 40 days fast and Satan found that he was hungry, Satan was just taking advantage. Do you get my point? To push, you know, a heavy onslaught of temptations again. I need to repeat something I said before. That was during our school of prayer. I was saying that if you saw a vision and they said that the demons in hell, you see all of them carry their sword and catapult and fire, you understand? And they say, "Where are they going?" They say, "They are going to your house." Listen to me. Don't expect that you will just get there. You see, the demons are dancing around your compound. They won't do that. Because they know something most people don't know. They don't have the power to just enter your house anyhow. So if demons are heading your direction, there's only one thing they can do. One, not two. Just one. When demons were heading in the direction of Balaam, you know how the demons manifested? Balak's messengers showed up with money. That was demonic manifestation. Did you hear what I said? It was not that you just see mysterious fire. It just broke out of nowhere. The demons are after me. Oh, listen, that is not demons after you. Demons after Balaam was that Balak's messengers showed up and they opened the bag. Man, the prophet checked, say, "Now we can complete the house in the village, the one in town, the roof over the church." You know, starts calculating. It's for the ministry. You know, it's not for us. It's the work of God we are trying to do with the money. That's demonic manifestation. If you think he's going to come and say, "We are going to kill you." Look, listen, even if you were Satan, will you try that? Think about it. If you were Satan, you will phone a man that has an army of soldiers guarding him, say, "I am coming to attack you." You won't do that. Think about it. Because if Satan does that to you, you know, he knows what you are going to do. What are you going to do? No, think about it. If you as a Christian now, Satan phones you, say, "Yes, we are coming after you." What will you do? No, let's be practical. As you are sitting down like this, Satan calls you, say, "You pick my call, you are dead." And it's the voice of the devil, you know it. No, let's be honest. What will you do? What will you do? I can't hear you well. Everybody's murmuring. Okay, you. Okay, see, he will go to church, gather the brethren. Give me another one. We are saying the same thing. It's prayer now. You will cast and bind. You see, you are bringing out all your weapons. Somebody will go to church, gather brethren. Somebody says, "I will start casting and binding." Somebody says, "I will start praying." So Satan, you think he doesn't know that? He knows. So Satan knows that that's what most people will do. They will start praying. So he won't come like that. What he does is to come like Balaam. He come like Balak came to Balaam. He will show him the money. "Come and do a job for me. Just prophesy against these people for me." Balaam will start speaking plenty grammar. "No, it's not the will of God." They say, "Double the money." That is how Satan appears. Satan appears with temptation. That is his own weapon. He will not give you one, you know, frontal assault. Unless he can only use that if he knows you know the word of God and he wants to challenge the integrity of the word. That's all. That's how Satan comes. I'm bringing that issue here. So you see, Jesus was tempted. The assault of Satan was part of his life. And it is him that overcomes that receives the crown of life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's how it is. It's overcoming that qualifies you for the crown. And that's what I'm explaining. So that position called equality with God is what God, that's why Jesus died. So that he will be able to bring many sons, the Bible says, to glory. So that each one of us can speak for him. Each one of us can carry his presence. And that's why we start this series, The Habitation of God. And listen to me, I've just revised it in 1 minute. If you carry divine presence, life is different for you. That's what I'm trying to explain. If God, you are carrying the presence of God, life is not the same for you as it is for every other person. It is different. When Jesus enters your boat, the storm will cease. I explained before that many of the things we saw in the life of Jesus, let's not confuse it. Some of them, of course, was because he was anointed, all right, by the Holy Spirit to minister. So he had the power of God that helped him minister to other people. But everything that happens to him as an individual, as a person, was not because of his anointing. It was because he personally carried the presence of God. It was because he was the habitation of God. Of all the things he did for other people, there was one in which he did it purely because of the relationship he had with God, not because of his anointing. And that was when he raised Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus was not because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The raising of Lazarus was because he had the ears of the Father. Listen, this is what I believe. It's not just that he wanted to show that he came from the Father. That is one, that is part of it. But I see many of the things that Jesus did, he was leaving something behind for his disciples to look forward to. Now remember Dorcas. When Dorcas died, everybody was sad. When Peter came, they said, Oga, this Lydia, this Dorcas, very beautiful woman. Everybody loved Dorcas. He started showing them how Dorcas, he started showing him how Dorcas had helped them. The artwork, the things that came out of her hand. Peter was grieved. He went and he knelt down and he began to pray. He went to the presence of the Father and began to make intercession for the return of Dorcas. When he and the Father finished it, the Father said, okay, I've heard. Then the man turned around and told Dorcas, yeah, get up. This is beyond the issue of somebody's anointed. This is that somebody has the ears of the Father. That's what we are talking about. This is not about anointing. Anointing, you know, the thing about anointing is that many people have been anointed and they have been destroyed. Yes. Anointing that people don't have the capacity to carry. Sometimes God releases it. We know a very good man in the Old Testament to give us as an example. What's his name? Samson. Samson was anointed. Let me pray a prayer for you. May you not be anointed beyond your ability to carry. Amen. Say amen, no.
Amen.
Because if that amen is not complete, listen, you will use your life to carry the anointing. That is your cut short. That's what happened to Samson. Samson was very heavily anointed. He was heavily anointed. When the Holy Spirit will come upon him, that guy used to do things that have become the story of, like you hear of Hercules. Yeah, those things were real. Don't think those things were not jokes. Samson did things like that. Literally could carry a heavy rock and throw it because an anointing was upon him. But of course, Brother Lou did not have the strength to carry the anointing. Everything you see that happened between him and Delilah was a summary of, that was how God expressed to us, this man did not have enough strength. That was why Delilah got him. Listen to me. Look, there's nothing like, why did he not run? Oh God, why did he tell her? Why did he tell her? You know, you watch whole videos before. Don't tell him. Don't tell her. Actor, don't tell. He can't hear. You know, it's a script. It's a script that's been written. In case you do not know, that's how the life of Samson also was. It has been written. He had to tell. Why would he tell? Because before that day, his strength had disappeared. He didn't have it anymore. He had gone everywhere. He would go to Gaza and there he would see a woman. He would go to Ashkelon, there he would see a harlot. And then there he would, that is everyone he saw. It was his strength that was going. Go and listen to the series, The Giant Killer. That's what I thought in that series. It was his strength that was going. When I see people dizzy, they think they're enjoying life. I laugh. Laugh. Your strength to succeed is disappearing. Is the reason why when you make money at the age of 50, you die at the age of 55. Why? Because glory in life needs strength to carry. You preserve your strength now. Samson was anointed beyond his ability to carry. And that was what killed him in a very useless way. You know, if you want to die, just die suddenly. It's good for you. Samson? No. They took him, removed his eyes. And you know why they removed his eyes? You know now. What's the spiritual reason? He went to Gaza. There he saw a woman. He said, the one you don't see, don't do. Boom. It was a spiritual. It was spiritual. He removed his eyes. So he couldn't see anymore. And when he stopped seeing, his strength came back. That's why Jesus said, if your eyes make you stumble. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what's the point? Samson did not have the strength, all right? Because he did not have the strength, the anointing that he was carrying killed him. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was different. First of all, God builds strength into him by training. And that's what he's doing with you. And that's what he's doing with me. God wants to dwell in us. That's what he's trying to do. Anything, now let me put it like this. God wants to dwell in us so that when he has come into us, things that will happen in our lives will come out naturally. If glory comes upon our lives, we'll be able to carry it. It wouldn't be difficult. It wouldn't kill us. And we're talking about the purification of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Why people don't experience the presence of God in their lives is simply because the human spirit has been defiled. And we are saying as Christians, we should exercise ourselves so as to ensure that our spirits are purified. Now, what am I teaching today? Remember, we read from that book of Galatians chapter 5. He talks about the works of the flesh. How do I start this? How do I start this so it will flow properly? All right, the Lord is good. All right, now we are in it now. Okay. Now, let me say, you know, I said that my message today is talking about the pure, of course, I'm talking about purification of the spirit. We've been talking about that. I want to speak specifically about that issue of being pure in heart. I began it the last time we're speaking on this, and I want to go back into it again. In fact, I think what would be good for me to use to explain this is a sermon I wrote yesterday and finished it today, which will come out maybe our next edition of our magazine, except I changed my mind, but it's likely to come out. That would be the best way for me to just explain this. I think that's what the Holy Spirit actually wants me to say, all right? Now, what did I write in that? I was trying to explain what it means when you talk about the will of God. You know, many times people talk about the will of God, and when they say the will of God, this is what they mean. Remember, I'm talking about the pure heart, being pure in spirit. I want to explain something about the will of God. Yesterday morning, as I dressed up to go to the office, suddenly the thing dropped in my mind. I almost dropped my bag to start writing. And what came to my mind was this issue of the will of God. Many times when we talk about the will of God, please follow me carefully here. This is what we think the will of God means. Like the story I told before, somebody asked me, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? Can you remember that my story? And I said, yes. And the brother said, how did he say it? And I told him the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Of course, he laughed, like you're laughing now too. You understand? Yeah, of course, the point I was trying to make to him is that that is not what it means to hear the opinion of God concerning whether you are married the right woman or not, when you see visions or you hear voices, okay? Now, when I was thinking about it, about what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind yesterday was that scripture again. Paul said, this is the will of God concerning you. He was writing to the Thessalonians. He said, what is that? Your sanctification. Let's quickly open to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, let me start from verse 1. I just like to read in context. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction on how you ought to walk and please God, that is, in a manner that is pleasing to God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. He said, we want you to excel still more in it. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now notice, he said, this is the will of God. I like the way King James says, he said, concerning you. My Bible says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Then he began to explain. Now please, I want you to lock your eyes on that verse and let's go over it one by one. From verse 3. He said, this is, or did he say these are? What did he say?
This
is singular, the will of God. And what is that?
Your sanctification.
Then he began to explain what sanctification is. He says sanctification is that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Then he said that you do not transgress and defraud your brother. That's verse 6. And he kept on going on and on, all right, down explaining what sanctification means. Now, please, look up now. What I want to bring out is what he said is the will of God. He said the will of God is what?
Sanctification.
It dawned on me that Paul did not imply that you need to go and look for the will of God concerning your life. I want to say that clearly. Paul never implied it. Many of the things we do in today's Christianity, read the scriptures, the Bible did not emphasize it. Let me take marriage as an example. Paul, he'd never told anybody, pray and let God know who you should marry. Now, please, I want you to understand something. I am not saying it is wrong. I am trying to lay emphasis where the Bible laid the emphasis. He never said, pray and God will reveal to you who you should marry. He said, well, he doesn't have to say everything. I agree with you. But he specifically talked about marriage. If he did not talk about marriage, we'll have said that maybe that's why he didn't tell us that. But he specifically went to the matter of marriage and he talked about it. He warned people about marrying unbelievers. He warned people on how to, you know, he talked about, he took time out on husband-wife relationship. The man did not tell anybody how to pray until they know the will of God concerning who they will marry. Let me tell you something. When you see the Bible not lay emphasis on something, be careful when you sit on it. Like I always say, when people tell you that if you don't tithe, you'll go to hell. My major problem with that doctrine is that with all the chapters in the New Testament on money, they did not remember to say it. That is my main problem. Say, Pastor Mark, you have come again. Yes, no. Need to come again. The Lord is good. I just like to let people know what God said and what God did not say. That's all. Say amen if you are still here.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, but I've been titled all my life. Are you saying I won't prosper? You will see prosper. I'm not saying you won't prosper. I'm just saying your prosperity is dependent on what Jesus did for you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Let me just add this one to it. And as a Christian, you should be a generous giver. Do you get my point? I was one of my friends yesterday was telling me something that work that they are doing somewhere. He didn't have to tell me much. In my mind, I just noted it. That when this work is going to advance, I should remember to send something. Nobody needs to remind me. That's Christianity. Make good doing a habit. What did I say? Yes, make it a habit. And don't worry about what it's bringing back. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God knows how to handle it. Do you hear what I said?
Yes,
if you need something, if you sow towards it, you will never get it. Do you hear what I said?
Yes,
if you need something, and you carry money and say, God, I want to give this towards this thing I need, I'm telling you, you will never get it. Stop that nonsense. Tell your neighbor.
Stop that
rubbish. Come on, stop that crap. You know why I say you will never get it? Because when you do that, when you want to go and pray, you put some confidence in the flesh. That is the problem. It is not because God is trying to punish you. It is because when you go to pray, you put some confidence in the flesh. You will say to God, remember. And once you do that, you spoiled it. Should have gone to him to say, Father, thank you are good. Thank you Jesus died for me. Thank you because no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. Thank you because you are my Father and you know everything that I need. I receive all my needs supplied from you in the name of Jesus Christ. You get something faster like that. That's what I mean by praying in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I said?
Yes,
oh, I can't leave it. Somebody is still stirring up in the spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8. He said, when you were yet a sinner, God gave his most precious gift to you. That is only because it's on Jesus Christ. He said, how much more will he freely, with that give you all things? That's what he said. I didn't say it. It's the Bible. Romans chapter 8. Anytime I get there, I get stuck. That's not my message for today. I just want you to stop that nonsense. I dare you again. That thing you have been sowing for the last 3 years, you should know that your seed is not working. But that's just by the way. Let's use my way, which is the Bible way. This is the gospel way, which is not stimulated by my desire to grab something out of your pocket. All right? Just go home, kneel, and say, God, forget everything I have done towards this thing. Today, I want to ask you, just because you are good and you love me, I want to ask you in the name of Jesus. Just try that one for 1 week. Maybe you have done your own for 3 years. If you've done something for 3 years, they say insanity is doing something the same way and expecting a different result. So I'm offering you another one today. Hi, I'm stuck there. Back to my message. How did I get into that? I'm trying to explain one thing that's important, all right? When we lay emphasis, okay? Let's know how to lay emphasis on what the Bible lays emphasis on. Back to the matter of marriage, all right? I'll give an example. I'm using that one to explain what the will of God is. So, what is the will of God? Do you know, it was yesterday that the thing struck me heavily. Many of the things I've said, I'm saying, I've taught here and there. But what I want to emphasize was yesterday it hit me. That Paul said, this is the will of God. That the will of God is not who I will marry, who I will not marry. That is the plan of God. There is a difference between the will and the plan of God. You know why? Because the plan of God changes from moment to moment depending upon the madness of your head or the sincerity of your soul. When you smoke Indian hemp, the plan of God changes. When you repent, the plan changes. You say, Pastor Bank, what do you mean? I will explain it to you. He said, Pastor Bank, I had a vision and God said I should get up and go to Onitsha. That is the plan of God. He says nothing about whether you are going to hell or not. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
the fact that God is talking to you doesn't mean you won't go to hellfire. Many people that God used to talk to, they are roasting in hell as we are talking. How do I know? Jesus said that they will come that day and say, did we not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, get away from there. I'll prove that to you. I don't have time to read the scriptures, but I'll tell you the stories where they are. Where the story in 1 Samuel. Let me ask you a simple question, direct. Was it God that chose Saul for Israel as king? Did they see vision, in quotes now, did Samuel see vision concerning it?
Yes,
he did. Did he hear the voice, audible voice of God concerning who to pick as king in Israel? Was it the will of God? I like that. I'm happy with that confession. Yes. It was not the will of God. How do I know? The first statement God made is that they have rejected me as king. Therefore, I will give you a new plan based upon the rejection of God. If you let vision sway you in life, you're about to die on time. That I will give you a new plan based upon the rejection of God. Therefore, status quo, God rejected. What shall we do? Get them a king called Saul. Saul only came on the scene because they denied God. And God said, this is what they have been doing since the days they left Egypt. They have gone to serve other gods again. And the other gods they have served have told them now to come and ask for a king. He said, Samuel, don't be angry. Don't worry about it. It's not you they rejected. It's me. But warn them. That even though I will appoint their king, even though I will tell them the wife to marry, even though I will be the one to pick the husband for them, tell them this is how they will suffer under the yoke that the guy will bring into their lives. That's why Paul said, the will of God is sanctification. It's not vision. That is, the will of God is sanctification. What will have been the will of God for Israel? They will have come to Saul and say, to Samuel, and say, we don't like what your sons are doing. We have been suffering under our enemies. What must we do to be saved? And Samuel will have said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. These are the commandments that Moses gave you. Have you kept them? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He will have reminded them of the commandments of God. That will have been the will of God. Then God will have given them a plan. And will have told Samuel, from now on, remove your two sons. I don't want them to be judges in Israel anymore. I don't know the number of sons they had. He will have said to them, okay, now, he will have given them new ways to handle affairs. Then one day will have said to them, okay, I think it is time for me to give you a king. Because there's one boy have been raising. His name is David. He's ready. Saul came by visions and revelations. But Saul was a product of the fact that men rejected God. The will of God is sanctification. It's not that God say I should marry this girl or marry this boy. That's not what the will of God is. That's the plan of God. God can specifically tell you to go and do the thing that he knows will kill you. It doesn't mean he's a wicked God. It only means that what you sow, you will reap. When God wanted to kill Ahab, he asked for help. Who will help me entice him to go to a place I want him to go to so he can die there? And then the spirit came and said, I will. He said, how are you going to do it? I'm going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet. And God did not say, so the Christian said that God allowed. God did not allow. God commanded. He said, go and succeed. The devil can't do anything if God does not command it. Don't give him the kind of power he doesn't have. He said, go and succeed. That spirit came with the voice of God, the power of God that enabled him to deceive Ahab. Therefore, all the prophets of Ahab were seeing visions and they were under influences. Yet, they were prophesying lies. The lie that God commanded that they must hear and they must utter. And Ahab will hear and believe and perish. The will of God is not who's talking to you, who's not talking to you. The will of God is who do you obey as a matter of habit. The will of God is what? Sanctification. I was about to leave. I had finished dressing. I picked my bag yesterday. And the scripture dropped in my mind. What is the will of God? Paul said, the will of God. He said, this is the will of God. Sanctification. I almost dropped my bag to bring out my computer and start writing. I said, no, let me get to the office. You know, Christians these days, we have been confused into thinking that, the reason why I make mistakes is because I didn't hear God well. That thing is not true. There is no other way to tune your ears to hear God well than to obey the word of God on a habitual basis. God spoke to me to marry this girl doesn't mean anything, doesn't impress me. Those of you who know me long enough, you know now. Say, pastors, I was going to, God just spoke to me. This is my wife. My own is that, that's what you say. Do you like the girl? That's what I want to know. All I ask you, is he a Christian? Yes. A real Christian? Not a joker Christian. She didn't come to church to look for a husband. Because if that's the case, you're in trouble. In fact, I will know you two came to church to look for a wife. Two of you came, found each other. Go here and go and compliment your iniquity that is to your problem. I hope you're following what I'm saying. What is the will of God? Sanctification. That's what God's will is. Then Paul now began to break it down. I'm not talking about a breakdown now. But let's us just understand that, please. Is it right for me to pray and say, God, who should I marry? Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not right. But that is not the will of God. If I wonder, you read this later. As if a man comes and says, Pastor, what is the will of God concerning my wife? I said, this is the will of God. Stop sleeping with all the girls in church. There's no other will of God. There are some people, that's their job. No matter what vision or revelation you see, do you understand my point? You will marry an evil person. You can't help it. Your wife will kill you one day. And it will be God that says you should marry her. Because he said, how do I destroy this joker? Find him Jezebel. I'm telling you. Say, Pastor, what is the will of God? Which business do I do? The will of God is not which business do I do. The will of God is, sir, how do I do business? I don't know what I hear what I say.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference. The will of God is what is pushing me. The will of God is what do I want to achieve? The will of God is that do I still believe that a man's life depends upon what he has? So what do I do? I sanctify all those thoughts. That is the will of God. There is nothing else that's the will of God. The business you do is not the will of God. The ministry you run is not the will of God. It's how you run it that's the will of God. Are you getting my point? What you have right now is the plan of God. It's a world of difference. That plan changes depending on whether you have rearranged your score. I was listening to Kenegi the other day and he said that, you know, it's good to listen to men properly. Don't just assume some things. He said 12 years he pastored before he finally found out he was in the wrong profession. In case you do not know, 12 years in which not one member of his church died because he preached, he taught them the word of God so much they used to get well. After that, one day, he said he was so dissatisfied, he left what he was doing and went and prayed. And the Lord revealed to him and said, listen, this is not what I called you to do in the first place. So he went out and started doing another thing. After 15 months of contemplating. Now, one of the things I heard him speak to, and if I send one of my friends a message to me, I said, please listen to this series. He has a message. I said, please listen to it. We used to think, I'm so happy, oh God, I worship you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You understand? Everything I'm telling you, please believe it. If I wasn't sure it was correct, I wouldn't water it to you. The man said before he left, you know what he first did? He said he sat down and began to tell God, you know, search his heart. And said, God, why was it that I actually wanted to pastor a church? He discovered that he enjoyed the comfort of a regular income. He had to say, God, I'm sorry. It took him 15 months. From the time he realized he was not supposed to be pastoring, to stop pastoring. 15 months. Why? Because he was walking. He wasn't like, okay, God has spoken, we are going. He was walking upon his heart. What am I doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Even when he left, he found out later, he still left into error. So one day he had a vision of God, and the Lord told him that, he said, he had preached for 15 years, yes, before he entered into the first phase of his ministry. Let me tell you what I understand. I didn't say it. I'm telling you what I understand. What happened was that it took God that length of time to get him to be converted into a sanctified mode that could handle ministry. You know, yesterday, the thing hit me like this. I said, my God. I was so happy for some things I've been teaching, but then some things entered my heart again. I said, look, when that brother said that, did God speak to you about the wife you marry? The Lord has been emphasizing to me for a long time. Stop emphasizing these things. It is not as if I don't speak to people. I tell people all the time, why am I in any good today? I'll tell you, one of the reasons there are many, there's a way I didn't bring this one up before, but one major reason is because I'm a pathologist. If I wasn't, it would have been a tricky way to get me down here, all right? So how did I become a pathologist? I told the story before, so for those of you who have heard, I was asking God, I prayed, so I believe in praying till God reveals things to you. I believe in it. And I don't know how I knew, I just in my heart said, okay, after my NYC, I'll go and do postgraduate. Then one day I sat down, I still remember when. I can't remember the very date, but I remember I came down from my NYC in 1993. I came home, I came to attend my alumni convention, and then I went home to see my folks before I would go back to Taraba State where I was serving. And it was some of those that I sat and said, Lord, what do I do? And it dropped in my head like a coin. As if that's how I explain it. The thing dropped in my head as if I had it land. Boom! And after that, I told everybody I'm going to be a pathologist. And they were shocked. Where did that come from? I know where it came from. So that when I finished my training, you know, issues like, where are you going, where are you going? My friends said, look, they don't have a pathologist in UNTH. Why don't you come? That's why I told you the reason how, you know, that's what ignited it. Two people, I don't know if you walk in your neck, I mean, one man gave his professor, that's an inaugural lecture a few days ago, professor, he's the vicar of the Anglican Church, the chapel in Park Lane. Well, he called me one day and said, look, Banky, why don't you come to Enugu? We don't have a pathologist. He was doing residency here that time. I said, he hit the same thing Chooks is saying, my friend Chooks. So I took both of them and said, well, it looks like this is where we are going to go. You understand my point? And let me summarize it. Let me not bore with the details. That's how come I got here. What I'm saying to you, that is not what the will of God is. The will of God is, are you ready? Now listen to this. Are you sanctified in your heart so that you are ready to go anywhere? This was the will of God concerning me. That even though men said money was in America, I said, no, it's not true. That was the will of God. I don't know what I hear what I said. Even though men said that if you're in Lagos, you make it quicker. And I said, it's a lie. Now, that lie, I said, was the will of God. When people said, listen, you want to go to Ibo Land, you know, you're Yoruba, man. Nigeria can break anytime. I still remember the man who was advising me, and I was smiling. I wanted to remind him of my father's friend that died in our hometown. They killed him there. But I didn't want to argue with my sin. I just kept quiet. They so killed the man, they killed everybody they found in the house, including his guards. And burnt everything, including him. The only one of his children that survived, one boy just took a girl, his sister, to the park. That one was traveling. So, okay, let me drive you to the motor park. That was what saved their lives. And I felt like, oh God, that was in his hometown. Like one of my brothers said, safety is not the absence of danger, it is the presence of God. I said in my mind, oh God, forget that side. Anywhere I go, if God is with me, my name is Joseph. That's why I used to tell people, I said, Joseph was not an Egyptian. Forget all of these stories. Was Joseph an Egyptian? No, forget it. That is what is called what? Sanctification. Are you getting my point? And that is the will of God. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. That one is the will of God. That one is the will of God. It is not, should I go to Enugu or go to Onitsha? Many people are in Enugu. Where God wanted them to go is a Abakaliki. But they can't hear it. But if God says it, there will be war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Did you read your Bible? Yeah. Right, the book of Revelation. God said there was war in heaven. So God said, I don't want another war. So, where is he? He's in Lagos. Okay, let's just tell him to stop in Enugu. You understand my point? So you don't know whether that's how I got here. So don't be impressed. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't be impressed. Say, Pastor, I came here according to the will of God. Forget that side. You don't know. Is it the plan of God? For sure. It is the plan of God. The will of God in it is that the man understands that in Christianity, there is no division. Who is a Hausa man? Who is an Igbo man? Who is a Yoruba man? Who is an Isoko man? Or who is from Cameroon? In Christianity, it does not exist. It's called what? Sanctification. That is the will of God. That one is the will of God. That is the will of God. Many people are praying for the will of God who are walking out of the will of God. They come to pray and say, God, this marriage matter. Once the guy is from Anambra State, you know my father will declare another war in heaven. So God says, you are not yet in the will of God. If I answer you, you will get grade 2 plan. Do you understand my point? And listen to me. You must understand something about God. Even if he wanted you to marry a man from Enugu State, for you to approach prayer saying, I can't marry a man from Anambra State, you can never get the perfect will of God. You can't. There's a degree of awareness that will enter your life because you prayed with some certain qualifications in your head. Do you know awareness? If you're an American, you won't understand that. You need to be a Nigerian to understand that English. Please give me an English word to use to help those who are listening from Australia. Please now give me an English word. No, not obtuse. Okay. Okay, let's use the word wobbleness. It sounds like wobble, Abby. Okay, there's a degree of instability and incongruency. Let's use that one. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, now this is what I'm making, all right? So, when we talk about the will of God, therefore, it is how you approach God that is His will. It is not the visions you saw or what He gave to you as a vision. God always adapts what you hear from Him according to what you are able to hear. Therefore, don't be impressed that what you have is the will of God. The will of God doesn't require you to be so spiritual you know how to pray and can download it from heaven. No. The will of God is that which you are taught from the scriptures. The will of God is the position that your heart is converted to. I'm going to pray about a marriage partner. There are statements I'm not allowed to utter. There are qualifications that is an insult to the Almighty. If the girl's parents are divorced, God, please do not cause another war on earth. There are things you don't utter. There are statements you make, you are saying to God, the blood of Jesus does not actually wipe away sins. The blood of Jesus, it will work, but the detergent action is not powerful. Yesterday night, my wife and I were watching a program on TV. And I saw what they call, I don't know how to describe that degree of perversion. Drug addicts and stuff like that. And I said to my wife, I said, my God in heaven. You know what I was thinking? What I didn't tell her, I was thinking, say, so Jesus, now wow, you try. You mean you can actually save this kind of person? I now told my wife outside, I said, this is why God don't said, this kind won't go, go wear glove. That's what God does. Look at me talking about. He said, for God to save some people, he go wear hand glove. That some people are so dead. Instantly, when I saw TV, Jesus, I was just looking like this. My mouth was open. But what's going on through my mind is I said, do you know if Jesus saves this man? Now, at that time, he was looking like a woman. The guy was described as a transvestite prostitute. And all he wanted to do is hear him talk. And he was explaining whether it's better to use crack cocaine or use PCP. Ah! I was looking at them like this. They were filming. It was a documentary on drugs. And I said, Jesus is Lord. Ah! I understood the power of the blood of Jesus. Because if Jesus poured blood on this one, you won't recognize him again. When Jesus poured blood on you, you will correct completely. They will think that you've just been born in a manger. But that is good. Now, why did I go into that? When you go to prayer, there are statements you make. You say to God, the blood of Jesus is not good. He's not angry with you. I want you to understand something about God. He's not be vexing person, you know. God is not an angry God. You know, every little thing is angry. No. He's mindful that you are but stupid. You understand my point? He's mindful that you are but ignorant. He knows. However, he can't bless the ignorance. He can't. He offers you correction. That's why some people, they've been praying for a while for 6 years. God says, if I answer you now, you 55, you're dead. Yes, if I answer you now, the reason is that the way by which you've been coming to prayer, and now I'll give you a revelation. Revelation is not hard. I just call one prophet, prophesies for you. You see, revelation is hard. It's not hard. You want the wife by force? I will give you the one you can receive, and that will be the plan of God, but it will never have been the perfect will of God. So I've delayed you the last 6 years. You've been praying and praying. Unfortunately, I'm having a little problem now. You say, God, what's your problem? I'll tell you what my problem is. In 6 years, your prayer point hasn't changed. Which means you're not closer than when you first began. The same mad criteria you gave me 6 years ago, you are still coming with it. Say, please, you know I'm from Arochukwu. If the girl is not from Arochukwu, there will be a problem. You said this one to God 6 years ago. He was not angry. He's mindful that you are but flesh. And foolishness is bound up in your heart. So he has sent a rod to you 4 times. The first girl was perfect. Appearance just the way God in heaven. Look, God saw your heart. That's how you wanted it. The very village your mother had been praying for you for before you were born. She came from there. Everything was perfect. Thank God. You went to introduce her to your parents. And as you're going, she took Ororo that was boiling, poured at the back of your head. The scar is still there till now. It was not the girl's fault. It was the spirit that possessed her to cleanse you of all defilement of spirit. The good Lord thought you will learn. You went and said, Lord, deliver me from the Jezebels that are from that place. But you are still waiting for people from that. I said, what else will I do? 3 times you found wife from there that were perfect, but you have realized that it is not good. And you have been hearing the gospel. God says, listen, this is the last year. If you pray that prayer, January next year, I will give you that wife. After that, you're on your own. May God not bless you and qualify it OYO. God says, my son has worried me so much. What does he want? He wants the Land Cruiser. Give him, put the number, OYO. As he's driving, he's on his own. The angel comes, say, take your car keys. The Lord said, I should tell you, you're on your own. You know what you should do with that car? In short, exactly, burn it. Best, just take the angel. Hold the key first. Hold on. No problem. Just hold on, sir. My guy, hold on now. We are serving the same God. Hold it. I said, hold it. I'm a child of God. Hold this thing. When the angel collects, I hold it. He said, go first. Help me keep her. They come. Then go back and go and pray. Say, dear Lord, I am sorry. Say, Lord, please send me a pair of Lexus. Not Lexus. Slippers with foam. So that I can trek with joy and gladness. God said, fine. Then when he finally gives you another car, he now says, this one, I will always sit beside you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Then you will drive and you'll be happy. Sometimes why God is delaying answering some people's prayers is that he says, if I answer you now, the answer will not help you. He said, if I answer you now, the answer will ruin you. If I answer you now, you will see food in abundance, but you will not be able to chew. If I answer you now, if you swallow food, it goes down your throat to your lungs. Don't let me answer you now. Why I can't answer you now is that the way you are praying is the kind of prayer that brings forth answers like Saul. When I answered Israel and gave them Saul, I first told Samuel, this Saul is coming because they rejected me. Who wants something that God gives them so that they can go away? In Yoruba land, they call it Ajegba Makwamije. You know what it means? That is something you give somebody to dismiss the person. Nobody wants that kind of blessing from God. You saw what Saul did. Saul was a real useless man as a king. And I can assure you of one thing. Most of the atrocities of Saul were not recorded. How do I know? A man who can go and wipe out a whole village of priests can do anything. Priests in Israel. What am I emphasizing? When we come to God with certain prayer points, God says simply, that one I can't answer. Not as if I don't have the power. It's not for your own good. It's not to your interest that I answer you now. So I've delayed you for this number of years. Why? Because I'm trying to convert you to the will of God. You get what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to do. I want to convert you to my will. You see what I've explained now? The will of God is not, should I marry this one or marry that one? Should I do this business or do that business? No! That one, I call it the plan of God. And the plan of God, the plenty. God will just open drawer, give you the one that you can handle. When they left Egypt, the first plan is, a few days, we're in the promised land. When they got there and began to mescaform, you know what that English means? It's another Nigerian English. Please, pardon me. When they got there and began to misbehave, God brought a second plan, dropped on the table, 40 years. The first plan, a few days you're in the promised land. When they began to misbehave, God just opened the drawer, changed the plan. Give me another plan. Moses, read that one to them. This time around, 40 years. And for your information, how did they arrive at the plan for 40 years? I will tell you. You know, before I used to wonder, because you know when you're learning, some things just, this is not the character of God. You know, some of the things I disagree with, before I had scripture to disagree, I said, this does not fit divine character. One day I read, I said, this doesn't fit God's character. Go to the promised land and go and spy out the land. For what? I said, this is not God's character. But of course, the Bible says he said so. So we have to agree that God told them. I just want to say, God, this is not like you. Then one day I was in the Bible. When I got to the book of Deuteronomy, in Numbers we saw what happened. In Deuteronomy, Moses now told us what happened. Moses said, you demanded to go and spy the land. I said, no wonder. I always knew this was not divine character. God said, Moses said, you were the ones that said you wanted to spy the land. Therefore, God said, all right, Moses, this is how, another plan. God just called another plan, give it to them. For jokers who want to spy the land I want to give them, this is the plan for them. Choose 12 people. I told you, these are your dreams and visions. Don't just go with it at all. Because God, you got draw one plan. Say, Moses, give them this one. They will plot a new, you know, trajectory for you. So you have left where they say you should go to now. They bring another plan. The plan was, okay, for people who won't believe me, trust me to give them what I said I will give them. All right, give them. Say, okay. They want to go and test first to be sure that everything is okay with the girl before they marry her. No problem. This is the next plan. They said, do you want to go and spy? Let's go and spy now. And God shook his head. I can imagine heaven. He said, you go and spy, no problem. Next plan the Lord gave them, this is how to spy the land. And after I gave them, I can just imagine he was shaking his head. Say, these boys don't get the point. This land they've gone to spy is the reason why they won't enter it. The 12 spies came back, 10 gave the report that they gave, and you know this rest of the story. They all mobilized against Moses. What nonsense. We are going back to Egypt. We are around rubbish. How could he have done this? He wants us to go and die. We grasshoppers. How can grasshoppers just die like this? You know, they just... And then God brought the next plan. Brother, the plan say, now this is the next plan. Every guy that's 20 years and above will die. They will die in the wilderness. Only the children will enter the promised land. That was the next plan. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That's why I talk all the time about the purification of the spirit. That is why I emphasize about the purification of our motives. You know, one day one of my brothers was talking about, we're discussing it. He said, some of our brethren, that by the time they want to finish you, they finish you with testimony, you can't talk again. After they have missed God, and they say, when we got there, praise God, the Holy Spirit just came down. And the Holy Spirit did this one. And you're thinking, like, why did you go there in the first place? What I'm talking about? I keep on saying, do you know if Jesus has said, 12 legions of angels, even though God did not want it, God will have given them to him. And they will have written a book on the power of the Son of God. The ability to call 12 legions. When I raised my voice, the first Roman soldier, his head went off. He thought it was Boko Haram. He didn't know that was the one doing the beheading. That's why I do testimonies, cool it down. Are you getting my point? Take the scripture, read it. Learn the ways of God. Please, I'm looking at my time. I want to close now. And this one I'm making. This one's back in my mind. You have been delayed because God says, if I answer you now, the plan I will give you is not the house I want you to have. And the now is not the 2013 or 2014. We're in 2014. It's not whether it's 2014 or 2015. No. The now I am saying is your current state of heart does not get a good wife. He doesn't get a good husband. If you harass me too much, I will answer you. But you can't get a good one. I would love to give you the best you can get under these circumstances, and the nail will be sore. So God said, don't be angry with me. I heard you the first time. Don't be angry with me. I heard you 5 years ago. Don't be angry with me. All you have been experiencing is me being patient with you, waiting for you to repent, waiting for you to be sanctified in your desires. Let me tell you, when I'm praying for Kingdom World Ministries, as an example, I am careful. Oh, God is my witness. I keep on changing. I keep on improving. Sometimes I ask God, why? I ask him, why am I doing this one that I'm doing? This is what I think, but is that the real reason? Because what I'm doing is not the will of God. It's why I'm doing it. The thing in my heart is what decides whether it's the will of God or not. Every other thing outside is just the plan of God. And I've told you already now, the plan of God doesn't mean anything anymore. You've seen it. God can give you a plan that's bad. It's actually the best under the circumstance, but you are so bad. Your heart is so bad. The best you can handle is a bad plan. Like all the Israelites dry in the wilderness. It was the plan of God, true of us. But what begat that plan? It was disobedience. Why did Saul come into Israel? Because the people rejected God. So God said, if I want to bless you well, I'm saying I close now. If I want to bless you well, I first convert you to my will. And Paul said, the will of God is one thing. It is what? Sanctification. That's the will of God. That's all. I was telling you that when I want to pray for kingdom, there are prayers I don't pray. Do you know? I'm not lying to you. If I did it years ago, I've forgotten. I can't remember praying for Kingdom World Ministries and say, God, please, make the place big. Bring people from all over Enugu to fill the hall so that the place will be very big, so it will become a big ministry. There are statements I don't make. Yeah. There are those who gather crowd. They are called apostles. We call them evangelists. You understand? But I've read my Bible. I believe they are apostles. I'm not an apostle. Nothing bad with it, though. It's very good. I don't believe Raymond Bong is an evangelist. I believe that man is an apostle. That's what, now, listen, you can disagree, and you are still a good man. Still a good woman. It's just my opinion. And I have my reason. I can't discuss that now. Do you understand? Apostles, is good for them to pray for large crowds because of the kind of people they are trying to reach. My own primary assignment for now is to teach. And if you go and sit, when Jesus will want to teach, he will always draw back. Read that Romans, Matthew chapter 5. When he saw the crowd, he went higher up. The disciples came to him, he began to teach. When he sees the crowd, what he does is tell stories. This one went for to sow. Come on. Someone fell by the wayside. Eh? You know that kind of thing. The disciples now come and say, why are you talking in parables? He said they didn't come to church to hear anything. Well, read it. Read that Mark chapter 4. He said, these guys, they didn't come to hear anything. So I just give them stories. And I heal their sick. I raise their dead. All those guys who went to listen to John the Baptist, who did some repentance, we bless them, then we go. But when it comes to teaching, we move back. So that affects how I pray. Those who have heard me pray before, I always say, Lord, there are those that need to hear what I am saying. Then I begin to pray for them. Every distraction that's keeping them from coming. Lord, you know, I'm praying for that. That's what I'm praying for. Distractions that will not let them reach the place on time. Okay, they're not in Enugu. Lord, they need to get to the website. This book, as it's going out, will reach somebody. This magazine that is going out will reach somebody. As for God, let the ministry be big. Where am I beginning to? Do I pray for the ministry? Okay, you can be sure of that. I wake up at night and utter words for kingdom world. But there is, if it is money, you say when you have a large crowd, you will have more money. Let me say this to you simply, if you're a pastor, you need to be stupid to believe that thing. Spiritually stupid. Let me tell you, in this world, 90% of the resources is controlled by less than 3% of the people. Sure you know. So who told you there is crowd, you need to get money? If money was your problem, self, that is, assume, say, you don't know anything, so money now they follow. Common sense, just go and read economics. They will tell you that 90% of the wealth of the world is controlled by less than 3% of the people. We're talking the other day that Warren Buffett last year made $11 million an hour. Is it 11, Bishop, who said? $12 million an hour. The money that man alone made, many of these small African countries did not make it. One man. So if you wanted to pray for money, you should have prayed with wisdom. Let me tell you the way I pray that one for money. There's a way I pray for money for kingdom work. Preachers learn it to help you. The Lord supply every resources that we need in Jesus' name. The second prayer point is send financial laborers into the harvest field. My understanding of God long ago from the beginning is that 90% of the money we will spend will come from 12 people maximum. That's just the way it's supposed to be. 12 maximum. I'm not going to use my prayer to drag all kinds of troubles into my head. So I certainly quarrel, morning, afternoon, and night. Is that not why Apostle said he applied for a transfer? those who know what I'm saying. He said, I wasn't preaching again. All I was doing was settling quarrel. The church, go up, transfer me. Transfer me. It was in headquarters where money was good. Money good in that place, you understand? But he said, no, this is how to die on time in this life. I don't want to die on time. Transfer me from here, yeah, and put me where I'll be preaching. They now carried him to one village. Some people say, they want to punish him. He said, I like his punishment. It's okay. Say, this one, every day he gets there, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody opens the Bible. The man preaches at least 3 times a week. He said, hey, this is the will of God concerning me. So you see, how did this, okay, good example. How did this God the will of God there? He just by removing the desire, said, I must get money. Took that one out of his heart. Look, let us go home, John. The Lord is good. Amen. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Oh God. Well, I thank God we are servants of God. You come with one thing in mind, the Lord says, say the other one. So we have to say it. I hope you are blessed today, Shah. I hope you are blessed. Remember, God may be delaying because we have not been converted to His will. He doesn't want to answer now because if He does, He says, you will not get what you really, really will be blessed by. You will get a second rate plan, a third rate plan. That's what you will get. So what do I do? I'm working in your life. I'm working on you so as to bring you into the center of the will of God. Then when you are there, you will not experience the perfect plan of God for that season. I hope you've gotten my point. If you're blessed today, tap your neighbor, say I was blessed.
Blessed.
All right. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Let's just say, Lord, thank you.